Well, hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I pray that our times together are a blessing for you. They certainly are with me. Help me in my walk, in my relationship with the Lord. And again, I pray that they do that for you as well. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. For us to have this time to be together. I hope that you've already had a great day or a part of a day at whatever point in time you're watching this. It's been a beautiful day here. It's a little bit cloudy and overcast. In fact, as it sprinkled just a little bit on my way home to film this, and which is certainly good. We've been needing the rain. And I hope that whatever the weather's like where you are is exactly what you need. But I'm thankful we can trust the Lord for that. But, you know, as we think about this day and this time, the best part about it is the fact that we get to be with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given to us, Lord. And thank you for the rain that you sent earlier. But, Father, thank you most of all, Lord, for the spiritual blessings that you have given to us. Father, salvation. Father, being born again, adopted into your family. Father, that you want us to know you, you want us to experience you, to walk closer to you. Father, thank you for this time to hear from you, to grow in your grace. And Lord, I pray, O God, that you quicken our minds and our hearts, that you give us understanding. O Lord God, that we hear from you and that we grow in you. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We know sooner or later, and usually it's sooner, we realize if we're wanting to walk with the Lord, that we're in enemy territory. The Bible makes it very clear that you and I, in our Christian walk, we have three main enemies. There is, in fact, the flesh, that is that residual part of our old nature that still is tempted to sin, that wars against the new man within us. There is, in fact, this world system in which we live, that is man's society that rejects God, rebels against God. And of course, we know that this world system is under the third main enemy, and that is in fact Satan himself. And so we think about Satan, his attacks upon us. Many times he attacks us through people. Sometimes gossip, sometimes slander, sometimes a more direct attack. I remember reading in J. Vernon McGee's commentaries, I've even forgotten what passage he was commenting on. But he made the comment looking back when he first moved to California in the 1940s and had got to meet with another pastor that he very much respected. And the other pastor asked him how he was liking California. And J. Vernon McGee made the comment. He said, I love it. It's absolutely beautiful here. But he says, you know, ever since I have come here, there has been one attack upon me after another, one word of gossip, one word of slander. You know, it's just been, he said, I could literally spend all my time defending myself. And so, you know, as we think about that, it's the reality for us as believers. And you may have experienced that already at work or school or some public setting where you have taken a stand for our Lord, maybe even with your family, maybe even with friends, maybe even with people who once were friends until you took that stand with the Lord. How do we respond to those times? How do we respond to the attacks from the enemy that come upon us because we seek to walk with our Lord? Well, this is exactly what we see as we open up in God's Word to Psalm 35. And you think about what we read in the very first part of verse 1. It says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Talking about that battle that he is in fact in because of his allegiance unto the Lord. What do we do in those times? Well, again, that's what we're going to look at when we look at this 35th Psalm. And Psalm 35, like all the other Psalms, is Hebrew poetry. And Hebrew poetry is different than ours. I know we think of poetry, and I'm not a very good poet. You know, we think about words and that rhyme, if you will, or some cadence in the wording. Hebrew poetry is different in the fact that it is based on parallel thoughts. And so that's why when you read a psalm, you'll see this recurring pattern of some idea, and then there'll be another idea, and it gets repeated, and then another idea, and it gets repeated. And so as we look at this psalm, as we seek to have an understanding what to do when we are in fact attacked because of our faith, because of our walk, our allegiance unto the Lord, I want us to look at those verses through this psalm that we can kind of group together so that we can see how we ought to respond. And so as we begin looking at this psalm, we think about responding to the attacks that we have because of our walk and our relationship with the Lord. The first thing we need to do is to examine ourselves. That is, we need to make sure that there's no basis or ground, that there's no legitimate reason for this individual, and it'll be Satan through them, we'll talk about that in a moment, to in fact attack us. We need to clearly examine ourselves to make sure that the attack is because of our allegiance unto Christ and not because we've been an unchristlike. But you think about what we see, if we drop all the way down to verse 7. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. You look at the key word there, without cause. David's saying, I have done nothing to cause this. I've done nothing to bring this out, to bring this about. You and I need to be careful that we walk in such a way that we don't create the reason for there to be an attack. That any attack that comes against us is in fact, has no basis, no groundwork whatsoever. In fact, you know, David goes on to say in verses 19 through 21, do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me, nor let those who hate me without cause wink maliciously. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful words against those who are quiet in the land. They open their mouth wide against me. They said, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. And again, David makes it very clear he was being wrongfully attacked. We need to make sure that any attack again that comes against us, whether it's gossip or slander or some more direct attack, that we've in fact done nothing to bring it about. In fact, when you read this psalm, not only did David not be the cause for the attack, but it's amazing how the love and the concern that David had in fact shown for them. Think about what we see as we look at verses 11 through 16. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things I do not know. They repay me evil for good. In other words, David had been good to them, but they were repaying his goodness with their evil, to the bereavement of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, notice what David does here, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bowed down mourning as one whose sorrows for a mother. But at my stumbling they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The smiters whom I did not know gathered together against me. They slandered me without ceasing like godless jesters at a feast. They gnashed at me with their teeth. But do you see, David didn't cause this attack. In fact, as David had shown them love, he had shown them concern. He was truly burdened when they went through a difficult time. We need to make sure that when we are attacked, and we will be for our walking with the Lord, that we examine ourselves to make sure that not only have we not caused the problem, but the fact that we've been Christ-like toward these individuals. I shared a moment ago about J. Vernon McGee talking to that pastor after his move to California, and J. Vernon McGee said he could spend all of his time defending himself against all this gossip and slander and false accusations that were being circulated about him. And the other pastor, older pastor, very wise, said, Vernon, the best thing that you can do is make sure that none of it is true. We need to make sure that of all the accusations and attacks against us, there's no basis for them. There's no ground for them, that they are in fact not true. So we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we have been right before the Lord toward these individuals. But then notice secondly what we need to do. We need to trust God's involvement. Look at verse 1 on through verse 3. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of buckler, that's a small shield, and shield, that's obviously the larger one, and rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Do you see where God is in the midst of David's problem? God is right there with him. we need to remember that God is not just up there, as comforting as it is to know that God is sovereign, that he rules over all things, but that God is in fact with us. David was not alone. God was with him. You are not alone, child of God. God is in fact with you. You think about that psalm that we quote it so often, yet it's so applicable. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You think of another verse that we've quoted so many times together, Isaiah 41:10, do not be anxious, do not anxiously look, do not fear, do not anxiously look about you, why, for I am your God. And God goes on to say, I'm with you, I will strengthen you. God is in fact with us. God is in fact with you. David returns to this theme. Remember, it's like Hebrew poetry, the recurring thoughts and the parallel thoughts. He returns to that in verses 22 on through 25. You have seen it, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Do not let them say in their heart, aha, our desire. Do not let them say, we have swallowed him up. Again, you think about God's involvement, especially in verses 22 and 23. Stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, and do not let those rejoice over me. David was confident of God's personal involvement. We need to remember, our Lord is always with us. In fact, as you think about it, this is one of the ministries, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Is the fact that he's come to live within us when we accept Christ. He is always there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us. You think about what our Lord told the disciples that final night that he had with them, as he, in those hours, several times made a mention of the person and the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But you think about what he said in John 14, verses 16 through 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it does not know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. Jesus said, I'm sending another comforter. And the key idea there in the Greek is someone who is just like me. Just as I have been with you, he will be with you. You think about how our Lord is always with the disciples to comfort and strengthen, to lift them, pick them up, carry them. In the very same way, the Holy Spirit is in fact with us. He is personally involved in our situation. But then notice what else we see in this passage. We need to trust God's victory. The fact that God will in fact win. You think about what we see in verses 4 through 8. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek my life. Let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net from me, without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let the net which he hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. You think about what David is saying here. And the reality is, David recognized that his enemies were really God's enemies. They were against him only because they were against God. And so David is merely praying that God would in fact intercede and that God would give the victory. David knew that he would experience victory as God won the victory. You think about what we see in verses 26 and 27. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who rejoice at my distress. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. The attacks against us are really attacks against God. You know, if you keep up with international events or affairs, you come across a term every now and then called a proxy war. You know, you'll have two large countries, large countries, two superpowers, and they might not go to war with each other, but, you know, country, big country A supports this little country over here, and big country B supports this little country, and so they give weapons, and they give technology, they give know-how, and these two smaller countries fight back and forth. What's really going on is it's a small scale, and no war small scale, I'm not trying to imply that, but for those caught in the middle of it. But what it is, it's a proxy war. It's a way that the two big nations have of contending with one another without doing it directly. And what is taking place when these individuals attack us, it's really a proxy war against God. And we can trust God that He will in fact win the victory over them. God is in fact going to win. I know we read, you keep up with the news, we see things getting worse on every level. We read the scripture, what we simply realize is the fact that God is at work bringing this world to the end that He has already proclaimed that He's going to bring it to, for His justice to be established, His kingdom to be established. And we need to live every day in trust of God within our own personal situations that we face, but also the world situation, that God will in fact win. He is the triumphant God. But then notice what else we see. We need to praise God's deliverance. Look what David did when God delivered him. Look at verses 9 and 10. And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exult in His salvation. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like You, who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him, and the afflicted and the needy from him who robs them? Drop down to verse 18. Remember, Hebrew poetry has parallel thoughts. And so you cycle back around. Verse 18, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise You among the mighty throng. Drop down and look at verses 27 and 28. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant. And my tongue shall declare Your righteousness and Your praise all day long. You know, we need to give thanks when God works and brings about that victory. It glorifies God. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens the faith of those around us. You know, we are so quick to lift up our petitions, and God invites us to. We need to be just as quick to lift up our praises on God's answer to those petitions. We need, in fact, to truly praise God for His wonderful deliverance. I know when we seek to follow the Lord and we come under attack, we have this tendency to think that's some sort of a new experience. It's not. God's people of every generation have been attacked. David was, of all people. But like David, we can place our faith and our trust in our Lord. We can walk in a way that pleases Him. And we can, in fact, experience His victory. And we can praise Him for it, because we have a God who delivers us, even when we are attacked, for walking with Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much, Lord, that You are a God who is personally involved in our lives. Father, we are thankful, Lord, that the victory is Yours and has already been won. And, oh Lord, may we praise and give You honor and glory and thanksgiving. Oh Lord, we see You work and move, whether it's some small detail, seemingly small detail in our life, some major problem in our life, or Father, as we look to see Your prophetic plan. Father, You are a God that we can trust, even when we're attacked for obeying You. Thank You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you go through the day walking with the Lord, serving Him, even if you come under attack for doing so, that your trust, your confidence will be in Him, that you'll look to His victory, and that you'll give Him the praise and the glory for it.